through the first part of it. So closing out over the next several weeks anyway. And so we'll be looking at that. And it's kind of interesting. This is a Wednesday night message. You know, when you just preach the text verse by verse and you go through, sometimes you don't know where you're going to end up. Of course, we've been on all Wednesday nights in 1 Peter, but the topic of the message tonight is called Feeding and Eating. How many like to eat? Amen. Yeah. How many like to feed? Amen. Oh, yep. My wife loves feeding people. If you get in the house, she'll figure out a way to put food in your mouth one way or the other. And she loved last Sunday. There was, 28 people over, I think, Sunday afternoon. And she was a cooking woman. Tell you what, food and bowls and stuff all over the place. It was awesome. And what a blessing that was. So, but this is what we're going to talk about tonight, feeding and eating. And in the text tonight, and it's funny because to me, or it's interesting, or I don't know if funny is even the right word, but here we are on a Wednesday night, and the Wednesday night crowd, by and large, Wednesday night crowd doesn't need what we're going to look at tonight. But the Lord knows, right? The Lord knows, and I say that. The Lord may, hopefully, will do something in all of our hearts, not only maybe not just a conviction, but maybe just an encouragement to continue on. And we're going to look at this. The churches in this letter that Peter's writing have been under great affliction. They've been needing encouragement, and Peter has been giving the encouragement to them, and he gives encouragement to us as well. And they have needed some reminding of how to live outside of the church, how to live outside in the community, how to live among the persecution that is going on. But tonight we're going to be dealing with how to live inside the church, how to live inside and how to operate there. It's going to begin with the pastors and elders, and eventually it is going to include all of you, everybody. It's going to include all of us in this, and we'll go through chapter 5 and look at that. But before we jump into verse 1 here, let me pray with you real quick, and we'll move right along. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to assemble. We thank you for those that have been obedient and faithful to you tonight and have assembled here tonight. We just ask you to bless your word tonight, that you would teach us tonight, you'd encourage us where there needs to be conviction and change, that you would, as that comes, that we'd have the heart and the trust and the faith and the obedience to make the changes that you want us to make. We lift up those that can't be here tonight because of sickness and illness. We ask you, Lord, that you would restore their health and heal their bodies. We pray for Rose and for Jerry. We just pray for your comfort there and your wisdom and guidance. And we just ask you to do a work there and help Jack as he ministers to them and give him the wisdom there as well. And we'll thank you for that. We'll thank you for what you do tonight, and we're looking forward to it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we see here in verse 1, the Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ." Let me try to read tonight. "And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Titus 1:5, the apostle Paul wrote and said, "For this cause left I thee in Crete." He was telling Titus, "Here's why I left you in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, what the things that need to be done, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And we see this term throughout the New Testament, this term of an elder. And it's used in two ways, really. In one way, it is just strictly speaking about age, about somebody who is older than somebody else, somebody who would be up at such a stage of life that because of their advanced stage of life, their advanced age, they would be considered an elder, and there would be a sense of respect and honor that is due there to that individual because of their age. I'll tell you what, that's missing in society, right? I was talking to our missionary and a few years ago, Brother Park in South Korea, and of course he is Korean. And I asked him about that. That was always typical of the Asian nations, was this reverence for age and for the elders. And I said, "Is that still there?" And he says, "No, No, sadly, it's going away here as well. And I thought, wow, what a shame. And that's one of the things. Look at verse 5. You can see this. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. So you see here, there's one aspect of this, which is of age, right? And then there's another one here, which speaks of not just age, but of authority. Of authority, of a position within the body. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. And so there's the elders that have a responsibility of teaching and feeding the flock. And one of those obviously would be the pastor, right? Number one, primarily. And then secondly, would be a deacon. Listen, the deacon has to be apt to teach, right? So if that, there's another aspect of an elder in the church. But more specifically in chapter 5 here, we're looking at the elder here as the pastor, right? Notice what he says. The elders which are among you, your elders, right? Your pastor, your deacons. If you have one or if you have many deacons, one or many, right? Your deacons, your elders, the ones that are among you, right? Not somebody else's, right? Not somebody else's. Oh, we had a, remember that little spit of time we went through that was a little bit turbulent, and there are those in here that, they were here. I mean, I was quote their pastor, but they really had another pastor. They really had somebody else they followed, right? Who really superseded any type of care or authority I might have had for them. They were going to go with somebody else first. And we're told here, the elders which are among you, yours, right? 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Do you realize God sets us in the churches that He wants us, right? It tells you something else. If you're not a member of a body, you're outside of the will of God. Because God sets us, He wants us in the body, okay? And so we see here God has placed us in the body. And watch, it is the body that He has placed you in where you get the food that you're supposed to have. Amen? Are we following this? Okay. So the elder is the authority in the church where your spiritual food comes from. All right? Pretty simple, isn't it? Peter goes on here and he outlines the job of the pastor. Now, this part of the message you ought to be excited about, friend, because it deals with me and it's what I have to do. And this should be like, I want to see how you deal with this one, right? Well, we're not. I'm going to go over to verse 5. No, I'm just kidding. Right. Notice the job of the pastor. Now you might be thinking, why do we need to know about the pastor's job? I'm not a pastor, you might be saying. I don't think I'd ever be a deacon. I don't know. Why are we dealing this? Well, you know, I don't know who God calls to preach. I don't know who's watching online for some reason that, the Lord is dealing with, and here's some instruction they went, right? You know, can I tell you this? This might seem strange to you. Even seems strange to me sometimes. But I'm not always going to be the pastor here. If the Lord tarries, and I don't like that term, if it is not within His time frame to come back in the next 30, 40, 50 years, right, this church is going to be getting another pastor. And the church needs to, and you're all saying, 30 years, I'm not going to be here either. Well, Micah might be here, right? And these two yahoos over here that are young and spry, you know, hopefully they'll still be here. And they need to know what a pastor ought to do. Amen. They ought to feed, right? And here it is. So he's talking to the pastor. And the flip side to the coin of this coin is, with the pastor's responsibility, if you know the pastor's responsibility well, you're going to also know your responsibility well. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. That's where it really goes downhill for you. So enjoy this while you can. I'm going to get the last lick in, okay? And so here we have here in verse 1, he says, I exhort. It means I admonish, I encourage you. Look at this. The elders which are among you, I exhort. So he is exhorting me tonight, right? In this first few verses. Look at what Peter goes on to say. This is actually very good. If you'll catch something here, it solves another question of heresy. Who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Do you realize Peter did not count himself here an apostle? He said, I'm an elder. Right? He said, I'm an elder. He brought himself down a little bit. He could have pulled the card of, I'm an apostle. But he's dealing with something here. He's saying, I'm an elder as well. Right? You notice what else he didn't call himself? The Pope. Yeah, I'm not a pope. Right? He wasn't in Rome. He was in Babylon. We think it's pretty clear. Anyway, it was a real place and he was really there, okay? And so he's saying here, who am also an elder. He's making himself equal with all of the other elders. And watch this, a witness of the suffering, which was what? The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And he says, also a partaker of the glory. Well, what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration? Remember, Jesus transfigured himself before him, and he was like, oh, let's make three tabernacles. One for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, right? And he got all excited about this great, cool miracle that he saw here. And he said, I'm an eyewitness. Right? I was there with the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. I too am an elder as well. So let me tell you this, preachers, feed the flock. Feed the flock. 2 Timothy 4:2, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. So it is my responsibility to feed you, right? What am I feeding? Well, obviously, we're talking about spiritual food, amen? We're talking about the Word of God. Preach the Word, amen? Are we alive tonight? Come on. I know you've had a long day, but if I got to scream through this whole thing, you can scream back once in a while. It'll be all right. Amen. It'll make you feel better, too. Psalm 23. What do we have here in Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What is he doing? We see here the shepherd is providing the need of the sheep. We have the outline here of the shepherd. And he says here, feed the flock of God, which is among you. And I like this again, because we see here at the very beginning, not only are you concerned for the elder, which is among you, but I should be concerned with the flock which is among me. Right? What am I saying? It's not my responsibility to feed somebody else's flock. Right? We believe in a local, visible church. Amen? Amen. Right? There is no invisible church, right? Could you imagine pastors? And some do this. They act like they're the pastor of every church out there, but they're not. Right? And so I'm thankful. I just have one, right? And so I'm supposed to feed the flock that is among me, the flock that God placed me over, the one that it is my responsibility to feed you and not necessarily to feed someone else, which means the bulk of my time should be spent in preparing and feeding this flock right here, right? No, we put messages online, and sometimes we have YouTube. Yeah, I think we do. And sometimes they make it to YouTube, and every once in a rare while, right? I might preach in another church somewhere or something like that. Very rare. But watch this. The meals that I'm cooking are not on my mind. I'm not cooking for so-and-so out here, or for this church over here, or for this people over here. My mind is focused, and my heart is focused on, I'm cooking meals for this place right here. Amen. And for y'all, this is it. This is the flock that God has put me over. And this is the food and the meals that I'm supposed to be preparing. It was said of Roloff, he came to, he was this preacher who is not of our stripe, so it was really funny. He said he was at a tent meeting in Texas, probably would have been back, obviously would have been back about the 60s. And he said there's this this evangelist that showed up to preach. His name was Lester Roloff, and which was shocking that that guy said that. And he said he walked up to the pulpit and he held up his Bible and he said, "I brought the groceries." And he sat it down and he began to preach. He brought the food. Well, he was getting ready to feed them, right? These are the groceries right here, right in the Word of God. We have the food. And this is my responsibility. You know what he designed? You know why God designed it this way? Because, listen, as the shepherd has a relationship with the sheep, God wanted the under-shepherd, the elder, to be, watch, to have a relationship with the flock that he knew, that he was aware, right? That he was intimately aware of, that he understood where they were living, the trials they were going through, the struggles that they were that were in front of them, the things that they were dealing with. You know, the God wanted the shepherd, the under shepherd, right? A shepherd who cares. Why? So the sheep don't have a want. So the sheep are provided for. That's my responsibility. That is my job. And there's personal concern. There's a responsibility to watch. There's going to be an account given and a judgment someday that you're going to give someday, right? You're going to give an account as well as I'm going to give an account. We'll look at that later. But God considers the office of a pastor as a gift to the church, right? Look, turn back Ephesians 4. We went through this not too long ago. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 11. Ephesians 4:11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." 2 Corinthians 1:24, Paul says, not for that we have dominion over your faith, right? I don't have dominion over your faith. We'll get into that later. I'm not to lord over the flock. We're just talking about feeding right now. Paul says, "But are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand." You know, one of the reasons, the responsibilities I have as a pastor to feed you, and one of the responsibilities in feeding you is to be a helper of your joy. Right? You know where your joy comes from? Where does your joy come from? It comes from, yeah, I know. That was an easy one. I wasn't tricking you. I'm sorry. Yeah. Your joy comes from the Lord. You know what? Your joy is going to be directly related to how much of Him you know and understand and are intimate with. And that is my responsibility. Right? So, I'm supposed to feed the flock. Feed you. Feed the Word of God. Right? Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Right? Preach the Word. Be ready at every time to feed the flock. Yeah. But there's a flip side to this. Right? The flip side of the coin is, if I have the responsibility to feed, you've got the responsibility to what? Eat. Heed or eat, yeah. Eat. Right? You got to come to the table. Right? You say, "Well, I don't know." Okay, fine. Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching you and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with melody in your heart as unto the Lord." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You've got to get the word of God. Job said, "I need thy word more than thy necessary food." Right? Job understood, I need the word of God more than I need to eat. We saw it in chapter 2 of our book here in 1 Peter, when Peter said, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby." Right? Jesus over in Matthew 4:4, he answered, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jesus told his disciples, remember, he's talking to the Samaritan at the well. They've gone and come into town and come back from town, and they said, "Oh, we need to eat." And he goes, "Oh, I have meat that you know not of." They're like, "Oh, who brought them lunch?" Right? They're so dense. That's why we're all sheep, right? We're not real bright. And, no, his food was to do the will of his Father, right? Our listen, the will of the Father for us, our food is not only the Word, doing the will of God, but is also the Word of God. This is our food. This is our food. But can I tell you tonight, I can't make you eat. You've heard it said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Right? It's true. You can lead a sheep to green pasture, and you can put it all out there, but you'll have one every once in a while, gets a little stubborn and gets wandering off and gets into something else. No, generally, listen, normally sheep like to eat, and we'll get in this maybe a little bit later, maybe not, but the point of the matter is if you're not eating, there's something wrong with you. And this was 1 Peter chapter 2, desire the sincere, the milk of the Word of God. What's happening if you're not desiring the Word of God? What is wrong with you? Well, there's sin going on. Right? There's rebellion going on. There's something else. We'll look at some of these things. I can't make you eat. So the question comes is, why don't some people come to the table and eat? Okay. Well, one reason is they're goats and they're not sheep. They're not saved. Remember Paul told the church of Corinth, I'm concerned of you. I mean, they were a mess. Yeah. There's a church down a town in the southwest corner of the state here, just a little ways down. Corinth Baptist Church. I always go by there going, I wonder if they ever read their Bible. That was like the worst name to name your church, right? Corinth Baptist Church, like Sodom and Gomorrah Baptist Church, you know? It's like, I don't think you read very often, right? Anyway, you know, Paul tells them, I'm a little concerned about you. I don't know if you've got it or not. Do you know 2 Corinthians 2:14, the Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for he spiritually discerned. Do you realize the natural man, the unsaved man, doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God? Why? He doesn't want them.
Right.
They're foolishness to them. Listen, friend, I know this is a Wednesday night crowd, and so you can just gloat for a little while that I'm not talking about you, I hope. But, if you have no desire for the things of the Word of God, and if it's just like, this is silly, you didn't get saved tonight. You are in danger tonight. You need to get born again. Some people don't come to the table because they're just not saved. Some people don't come to the table, they're saved, but they are full of junk food. They're full of garbage. What have they been doing? They've been feeding the flesh. Do you realize when you feed the flesh, you lose appetite of the Word of God? How many of you, come on, I'll raise my hand. How many of you noticed that in your own life? Come on, raise your hand with me, would you please? I don't want to be the only one. It's just a fact. I've done it. You've just been feeding on the husks of the world, right? And it's like eating a box of Twinkies. And it's what's crazy about it is, you don't even feel good, right? You've been eating the world's garbage. It makes you sick. You're like, oh, why'd I do that? And then on top of it, you don't even want to go to the Word of God. Partly because you might be ashamed and you feel like you shouldn't even be at the Word of God, right? Which actually you should. Right? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereunto according to thy word? Absolutely. You know, listen, we ruin our appetite when we feed the flesh. We ruin our appetite when we stay home from church and watch TV and movies instead of coming to the house of God. I'm convinced people do that still. I mean, I know, I just really think, I don't know if people realize there's a thing called DVR now. Right? Oh, can I help you to be a helper of your joy? You'd probably be better if you just got rid of it in the first place. I mean, even on the internet, you can find little things if you want to watch once in a while, but good grief. I mean, I know some people, you go in their house and that thing's on 24 hours a day. Yeah? Anyway, that was something else. Anyway. But no, there's people, they just, you know what? Well, my show's on at 7. Yeah. You're full of the flesh, man. You're full of the world. No wonder you don't desire the things of God. You know what? Some people just go eat. Some people don't. They're not hungry for the Word of God because they're eating food somewhere else. Remember what I said? Right? The flock of God. Right? This is, Peter, where am I? Oh, yeah. The elders which are among you, right? So I have the responsibility for this flock, but you're the flock that has the responsibility to eat here. Right? Well, does that mean I don't ever get food anywhere else? Well, you go out to eat every once in a while, don't you? Well, obviously, it's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But listen, you need to come. You're supposed to. Your first priority is come home to eat. Yeah. You know when you eat out? When a guest preacher comes in, you get to eat out, right? They bring in takeout, and they show up at your house with takeout food. And it's really good sometimes, right? No, we all listen to messages online. We listen to messages on our radios or whatever it is. You might have a Christian station. Those are wonderful things, and I'm thankful to God for those. But your first priority is to be here.
Amen.
Yeah. Some people are eating somewhere else. You know what I found out? It's kind of weird. Maybe it's just me, but I found out when I start listening to other preaching for too long, it's just like, okay, I just need to shut it all off. And when I wasn't a pastor, I mean, I'd listen to preaching, and sometimes I'd be like, I just need to hear my preacher. I just need to shut this off and wait for Sunday and listen to my preacher. Why? Because this is who God had for me. He was the one who watched for my soul. He was the one who's going to answer for it someday, right? He's the one who's a helper of my joy. He's the one who would counsel and would pray for me and all of these things. And here we have it here. I think we just need to do that. Listen, people, they don't come to the table sometimes because they're getting it somewhere else. Well, this one's better over here. This food, you know, it's better. I'm sure it is. I might come along too sometime with you. Could you imagine if I just came with you one day? That'd be weird. Yeah, that'd make you nervous. You know what sometimes makes you not want to come to the table is you're just consumed with the cares of this world. You know, I've got to remind you tonight. I have to. I have to remind you of this. I could pass by it, and we might get along a little better. But I've got to remind you this, that Jesus said, a disciple of His. And what is a disciple? Anybody know what a disciple is?
Follower of Christ.
Yep. Who is a disciple? Everyone who is saved. Disciples, and listen, a disciple is not a class of Christians. I know the disciples became apostles. But listen, everybody, and I don't have time tonight, you can go look it up for yourself, you can see it. A disciple is a born-again child of God. They're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said a disciple has got to make a choice in his life whether they're going to follow Him or they're going to follow their family. That's tough. Luke 14:26, I'm just going to tell you what He said. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. If any man come to Me and what? Yeah. If any man come unto Me and hate not his father and mother, and wife and children, and brother and sisters, yea, in his own life only, also he can't be My disciple. Wow. It's pretty heavy. So do I have to go hate my parents? Obviously not. What is He showing? Right? That word hate there speaks about showing preference of one over the other. Do you know you can put priority over something and still love something else? But it doesn't have priority. Yeah. You did that with your children growing up, didn't you? When you were raising them. You loved them. There's things that had a priority over them. Yeah. What's the opposite today? We're raising a bunch of idols. Children have become idols now. The pendulum has swung the other way. And it's not good either. But Jesus said this. Some people don't come to the table because they're too consumed with family. They're too consumed with their children. Can I tell you one of the best things you can do for your children is show them consistency and faithfulness to the Word of God? Let me tell you, listen, your children may be off, and listen, I may be right in the same boat with you, but what they are not going to see is my wife and I walk away from the things of God just because they may have. That doesn't help. Right? That's not consistency. They need to see consistency. When you stop consistency, they start, listen, getting validated for their choices.
Right.
And then that's not helping them, right? Yeah. Man, now I'm meddling. Let me meddle some more. Listen, I don't get this. I don't get it. Christmas will come up on Sunday, and it's like, well, church on Sunday? We can't do that. I'm thankful we had church on Sunday and like every Christmas Sunday when it landed on Sunday, like everybody showed up. It was wonderful, right? But there's some out there. I'm telling you, it's like, the churches will close down. Well, it's Christmas. Have you caught how weird that sounds? It's Christmas. We got to shut church down. It ended up on Sunday. What is it all about anyways? Right? Oh my. Anyway, I don't need to scream over something that's obvious, okay? So, yeah. It's like people come in, they pay their dues, right? And then it's off to family. It's off to come on. Listen, if I have to feed you, you need to be here eating. Right? You need to be eating. It's your responsibility. We looked at it. Look at, Matthew chapter 10. Maybe we'll move on from this here in a little bit. It'll get better. Actually, it doesn't. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 10. Come on, I can do it. Is this where I want to be? I think that's where I want to go. Oh, yeah. Listen to this. This is what Jesus said. I didn't say it. It's even in red. Sometimes some of you have Bibles in red. You know who said this. Think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. What does that mean? To divide. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. That's not that hard. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. How many have ever found that that's true? You start following the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you, the biggest battle you have is in your own house and with your own family in following Jesus Christ. Some of the biggest pushback that you will get in following Jesus won't be the lost world. It'll be your own family. And Jesus says, hey, you're going to have to choose who you're going to follow. Some people don't come to the table. It's because they're just so consumed with the cares of this world. Some people are so consumed with work. Can I remind you, the Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? It will. You say, well, you have to go work sometimes. I'm watching, I'm off the clock. I'm watching live stream. I'm involved right here. Yeah. You say you watch her? Oh, yeah, I watch her. I know who's not here. No. Yeah. Some people will miss just for pleasure. That's sad. It really is. It shows you why you don't have an appetite for the things of God. If you can skip church to go to a ball game, Super Bowl, taking off, heading up to Kansas City. Going to go watch the game on the Lord's Day. Well, it's not the Sabbath. Yeah, okay, it's the Lord's Day. Right. Baseball tournament. Now, here's the choice. Think about it this way. Here's the choice we have in front of us. Your choice is either your choice, right, or Jesus. Right, we're following Him. We're following Him. So the choice is between whatever we're replacing with Him and Him. Right, Jesus or the Super Bowl. What's the choice? He's like, oh, that's so manipulative. No, it's not. It's just fact. Right. Jesus or the baseball tournament. Oh, don't say it. Don't say it. Jesus or deer season. I mean, come on. That one. Now we're getting bad. You know, I'm telling you, they'll pack up and they'll, yeah. Let's go deer season. It wasn't deer season yesterday. Well, yeah, but come on. Anyway. And you wonder why. Hey, you wonder why you don't have an appetite for the things of God. You wonder why you don't want to come to the table. Because you're filling up with other stuff, with junk. Can I tell you tonight, as a church, it would be a good place right here to clear a spot with Joshua and say, choose ye this day who you will serve. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Aren't you glad you came on Wednesday night? Not talking about me. No. Yeah. It's a choice. It really is. And since this is going so swimmingly, let me stop right here. The pastor has a responsibility to feed the flock. Amen? Oh, come on.
Amen.
I mean, you can. The pastor's responsibility to feed the flock.
Amen.
All right, good. I'm going to, push me over the edge.
Amen.
All right, good. The flock has the responsibility and the need, this all rhymes, to eat the feed. You like that? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Yep. And, oh, let me say this before I forget. There's nothing wrong with the feed. Right? You're not coming to the table for a rotten biscuit or a rotten apple or food that is just no good, that's been stale and sitting out. I mean, it's possible to take a good meal and ruin it. I've done that before with the text. It's possible, but there's really nothing wrong with the text at all.
Right.
It's good. Absolutely. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, he said, "Thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy words were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." He said, "I took the word of God and I ate them, and it was the joy of my heart." Yeah. So why isn't the word of God the joy of your heart? You ever had times in your life when it just wasn't the joy of your heart? Why? Well, you know why. You're away from the Lord. We just read a letter from India, right? They'll walk 2 hours to hear the word of God.
Right.
They'll walk 2 hours one way. Some will spend all day, from morning till night, getting to the place, spending all day in the house of God and walking all the way home. And can I tell you, the problem isn't the book. The problem is rebellious sheep that have gotten fat off the world. That's the problem. So there's nothing wrong with the feed. God chose the foolishness of preaching, didn't He? Yeah. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save. Not foolish preaching. We got a caveat there. But the foolishness of preaching. It's different than Bible reading. You need that. Right. That's Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you, and my words will abide in you." This is how we abide in Christ. We stay in the Word, of our own personal devotions and things like that. It's different than teaching. Teaching is just disseminating facts and giving you information. The preaching of the Word of God is food that helps you change your behavior. Because I don't know if you know this or not, your behavior needs to change. And mine does too, right? Yeah, it's difficult for me. I as a pastor, I get very little preaching. And there's times I got to go to a preacher's meeting because I need it. Right, I need to have my face ripped off. I need something, right, from somebody who's been there. You know, a man of God that God has just given a message to, and man, I just definitely need it. So God chose the foolishness of preaching. It helps you change your behavior. You need it. So many have just added God to their life. This is the problem with it. This is why they're not coming to the table, right? Oh, no, they'll go to the restaurant table at all hours of the night. Well, it's hard to get over there because of this and that, but boy, I can make it here, here, and here, and here. Right? I can do this, I can do that. It's amazing. Hey, it is amazing what we can do when we want what we want to. We can find all sorts of ways to do what we want to. Amen? And if we're having trouble getting to the house of God, I'm telling you, it is because it is a spiritual problem. And now, doesn't count to my time. Okay. You know I'm not talking about people with providential problems and health issues and, you know, getting a car crash on the way over here and it's like, well, oh, bless God, you made it to the hospital. You could have made it to church. You know, things like, you know, I'm not talking about that, right? So, you know. But the problem is, watch, the problem is, oh yeah, time in. The problem is that so many have just added God to their life. It's just an add-on. Hey, listen, you get on to the Catholics for adding on Jesus. You get on to this, but listen, sometimes Christians do it as well.
Right.
They just add them on. Yeah. Watch, listen to this. Church is something that you do to get out of the way so you can get back to doing what you were doing before. Yeah. It's like, okay, we're out. Came to my mind. I don't know. Yeah. God's sheep that are healthy have a desire for the preaching of the Word of God. They have an appetite for it. They need it. Like Jeremiah, he said, I found them, I ate them. They're like just like joy and rejoicing in my heart. I had to have them. I'm afraid that we have churches that are full of anemic sheep. Some because they aren't being fed. That'd be my fault. But some because they don't come to the table. That'd be your fault. And what, I mean, think about this. What would you think if I adopted the attitude of those that don't come to the table? Church wouldn't put up with that, right? If I just didn't prepare. Just, whatever, wing it. Yeah, found this on a daily bread. I'll just read this. What if I didn't show up to services? Where'd the preacher go? Oh, he's eating over here today. Oh, okay. No, you'd be pretty irate, wouldn't you? Rightly so. Rightly so, absolutely. I would be shirking my responsibility by God. But what is your attitude towards your responsibility? Oh, let me say this. Oh, I'm going to finish. I am. Just because you showed up, it doesn't mean that you are eating. Right. Yep. Some people show up, they're just, it takes preparation. Ezra, remember what Ezra said, that he prepared his heart to serve the Lord, to seek the Lord. He prepared his heart. He made himself ready. Yeah, we ought to do that. Some people, they're here in body, but they're not eating. Right? They're full. The things of the world are running through their mind. The movie they just watched, they shouldn't have, is running through their mind. The things that they've just been talking about are running through their mind. And I mean, the Word of God, it can't do anything. Why? Because they're full. Hey, on Twinkies, and junk, and ding-dongs. That's what you are, a ding-dong. Right? Don't do that. Amen. Yeah, oh, that wasn't nice. Anyway, tell you what. I'll keep preparing. You keep eating. Amen? Why don't we agree on that? Father, thank you tonight for your word. Would you help us? Help me. I have a responsibility to feed the flock, and I want to. I want to. You know my heart. So often I think, I wish there was more food in there. I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd, And you know my heart there. And I know the heart of so many that are here tonight. And I'm so thankful for their heart. They want you. They want your word. They love you. They want to be changed by your word. I just pray that you would help us. To continue with that, not let anything, to be alert and aware of the things of the junk food of this world that are trying to fill us up, to lose our appetite for the Word. Give us discernment on that and help us to walk circumspectly every day and not fill up on the garbage to where we don't want the food. Would you do that? And then for those that are struggling, Father, to come to the table, Lord, would you convict them? Would you help them to see that, Lord, they'd have the joy that they're looking for and the peace they're looking for if they just get back to the table and just push away from the world. Would you help them? Give them, show them that they would, Lord, just get right with you, please. Well, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll have a short invitation. However, the Lord's spoken to you tonight. And are you eating? Are you coming to the table tonight? Praise the Lord. Are you coming? Let's stand. You can stand. I'm sorry. You might say, you know what, I've been a little full lately and I just can't seem to not go to the Twinkie box. I just keep going to the Twinkie box, right? And if you fill up on the Word, you won't have enough room for the Twinkie. Yep. Absolutely. You say, just a little Twinkie? Just a little bit of Twinkie? That wouldn't be bad, would it? Right. Yeah. Because you know what happens when you have... Okay, maybe not a Twinkie. I don't know what you like, right? You start having a little bit. What does your body go? More. More. Yeah. What's your flesh do? More.